Fishery managers say Southeast Alaska should expect a big pink salmon harvest next year. And a report says the Forest Service is wasting money with a failing Southeast timber industry. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Fishery managers are forecasting another big harvest of pink salmon in Southeast Alaska next year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is estimating the region's catch in 2015 could hit 58 million pinks and is forecasted to fall somewhere between 37 and 79 million humpies. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Fish and Game expects Southeast's pink catch next year will fall in the excellent category compared to historical numbers. Andy Piston is the department's pink and chum salmon project leader for Southeast.
You know, if the harvest turns out to be in that range, that would be one of the top 10 harvests in Southeast Alaska since statehood. So we're hoping for a strong return.
To produce its forecast, the department uses trends in recent harvests along with numbers of outgoing juvenile pinks that are sampled by federal fishery scientists each year. Humpies have a two-year life cycle and spend their first year in freshwater before heading out to sea. Piston notes that next year's pinks will be the offspring of the record-setting catch and returns from 2013.
We had a harvest of 95 million, which was almost 20 million higher than any other harvest since statehood. And in addition to that, we had really strong escapements throughout the region. We had, in all three subregions of Southeast Alaska, we had very, very good escapements. So there was no real weak spot. So looking ahead to 2015, as far as escapements go, they were good throughout the region.
Escapement is a term for the salmon that make it past fishing nets and back to the creeks and rivers to spawn. Ever since 2006, Southeast has been in a two-year cycle of high and low catches, with larger hauls in odd years and smaller harvests in even years. This year's catch continued that trend to some degree, although the overall harvest of 37 million pinks was nearly twice what the department forecast going into the season. Most of this year's catch came from the southern panhandle and the outer coast. Piston says it's only one area of the region that has seen big fluctuations between years.
The area that's really the problem is our northern southeast inside waters. There we're seeing extreme odd even year fluctuations. You know, we've especially the last couple of years, we've gone from near record harvest to extremely low harvests. And so it's not a region-wide phenomenon right now. It's mainly just that one sub-region that still has some weakness in even years.
And for next year, Piston is sounding a note of caution about ocean conditions, and in particular, warmer than normal water temperatures that are seen right now in the Pacific.
The last time we saw, you know, notably warm water like this, where we were seeing unusual species showing up in the Gulf and things like that, we ended up having, that's when we had our poor return to even year pinks in 2006. Those fish went out to sea in 2005 under those anomalous conditions. And so that's the main reason to be cautious about next year's return, is we just don't know what these particular conditions are going to do.
Pinks are targeted primarily by the region's purse seine fleet and have traditionally ended up in cans. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
A new report says the Forest Service is wasting millions of dollars by propping up a failing Southeast Alaska timber industry. It says the Tongass National Forest should instead invest in projects supporting tourism and fishing, which are growing segments of the economy. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Headwaters Economics, a Montana-based research firm, prepared the report with funding from two conservation-oriented foundations. It was released by the Alaska chapter of Trout Unlimited, which is critical of Tongass logging.
The Tongass has historically been a national forest focused on old-growth harvesting, and it looks very much today like the same thing.
Ben Alexander is Headwaters Associate Director.
The underlying economics in Southeast Alaska have shifted radically, and the growth sectors and the sectors creating jobs and opportunities for communities and businesses now are no longer in timber.
The report says the Forest Service spent more than $100 million over the past 5 years subsidizing old-growth logging. Alaska Regional Forester Beth Pendleton didn't have the information at hand to confirm or deny that figure, but she says Congress, not her office, decides how much money goes to programs such as timber, fishing, and tourism.
I believe that the report, while well-intentioned, is flawed, and I think it shows some naivete relative to how the federal budgets are allocated.
Ross Gordy, a research professor involved in the report, said that's sidestepping the problem, which he says is in Washington, D.C.
They don't tell the Forest Service how much money to spend on recreation in the Tongass versus how much to spend on recreation in Washington or Alabama or anywhere else.
We do have some flexibility relative to policy and how we implement certain program direction.
Pendleton says that's allowing her agency to start moving away from old growth logging. The goal is to do that in 10 to 15 years.
So over the last 5 years, we've been putting an increasing emphasis on that transition to young growth.
The Headwaters report says the agency has moved too slowly. Austin Williams is Alaska Policy Director for Trout Unlimited.
It's frankly not clear when that time frame might start or end. And there's an opportunity to speed it up. 10 to 15 years is just too long, and it's not getting at the real needs of Southeast Alaska communities.
The Forest Service says a change this big doesn't happen overnight. Pendleton says the planning process is ongoing, including consulting with an advisory committee representing different interest groups.
The planning process takes time. It's one that's based on collaborative engagement with our communities and publics, and also through the offering of stewardship contracts. So these things do take some time, but we're making some progress in that direction.
A separate report from an industry consultant and an environmental scientist says the transition could happen in 5 years. The Forest Service says that's not realistic, but Pendleton says that research is part of the advisory committee's discussion. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
Sea Alaska's winter shareholders' dividends will again include no operational profits. That reflects last year's multi-million dollar deficit. Last spring's distribution also included no such profits. December's payments were approved by the Southeast Regional Native Corporation's Board of Directors last week. They range from about $980 to $80 per tribal member. Most eligible Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian shareholders will get about $900. That's the amount for those belonging to an urban Native corporation such as Juneau's Gold Belt. Those holding stock in village corporations such as Cake Tribal or Huna Totem will get about $80 each. Descendants of original shareholders will see an equal amount. The difference between the two totals is sent to village corporations. Some pass it on, while others invest it or pay debts. In addition, eligible elders will receive about $80 more. The numbers are based on 100 shares of stock. Some tribal members have more or less due to inheritance, gifting, and other factors. The winter dividends reflect earnings from Sea Alaska's investments and its share of a statewide natural resource profits pool. Southeast Alaska's Tlingit, Haida Central Council has joined a nationwide effort to help young men of color succeed. It's a White House initiative called My Brother's Keeper. The Central Council hosted a summit earlier this month in Juneau to begin looking for solutions. The kickoff event reviewed information showing high rates of suicide, violence, and substance abuse among young male, tribal, and other minority members. Central Council Governmental Affairs Liaison Barbara Blake says about 80 people attended.
We will look at all of the programs available to young men here in the Juneau region and beyond and find out where the loopholes are and find where the young men in our communities are falling through the cracks.
A January meeting will come up with recommendations. An action plan is due to national campaign leaders by late March. Blake says a number of Southeast government, tribal, and service groups have joined the campaign. She says it needs more decision makers, such as school board members and commissioners, to be effective.
What we're looking at is something that can be sustainable within our communities and not something that ends as of March 25th when we will complete the challenge from the White House.
She says the Central Council is one of only two tribal groups in Alaska and 15 nationwide that have committed to the My Brother's Keeper program. The Juneau-headquartered council represents more than 30,000 Tlingit and Haida Indians in Southeast Alaska and elsewhere. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. We had reports from Joe Vicknicki and Ed Schoenfeld. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.